Here goes nothing.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to do our 3, 2, 1 clap. Everyone should clap.
Jesus, I've been recording for an hour and 20 minutes.
Just so it's all clear when you do the local.
Trying to clap in at the same time does not work. It does not work.
It totally can work. I've done it.
It does not work. No.
If you anticipate based on... Okay, whatever. It's fine. I'm going to count us in. 3, 2... No, you did not. No one clapped. Okay, cool. You can't even. You're not even gonna try to clap.
I'm sorry,
generally,
really
nope. I just said like, okay, whatever. Hello, internet. This is Chase Wassenaar, and welcome to K-pop Shenanigans. Very excited to be here today. It's time for our September podcast, and after a couple weeks of guests on the show, I think it's time to return to the core of members. Unfortunately, Kristen will not be here, but I am joined by Shay. Shay, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
It's nice to have you back on the show.
Yeah, I'm fine.
And as a full-time member this time, he's coming in out of semi-retirement to not only edit, but be a guest host on this. Zach, how are you doing, man?
Well, to kind of maybe spoil a bit of something that's here, a month where a Twice song is about my third favorite of the month is a good month.
Yeah, it was an interesting month. I feel like, you know, Twice obviously is the biggest name, and that's the one that's going to catch the most attention by people who are, you know, kind of following on the outside. A lot of mid-card groups trying to step up this month, creating some interesting things, some of which worked out very well, some of which sure were.
Should I acknowledge that pun or no?
Was there a pun?
There was certainly a pun.
It was.
Yes.
It was pun intended,
yes,
I can tell
was.
You that much.
Uh-huh, right. Because you don't even recognize that there's a pun, and that obviously means that it's intended. Because, you know, like, I should we tell him, or should we just let him just live off in his own little fantasy world?
Let's just let him live.
I'll listen to it on the rewatch. It'll be great. Like, comment, subscribe.
You'll catch it, and then you'll be like,
your
oh my god.
Your favorite unintended pun of the show. No, but we do have a great two-part episode for you guys, and we're very excited to talk about a whole bunch of interesting songs. But first, we have to do the news, and the news for this episode is a little bit rough. We have to talk about Sully. Sully was a member of FX, for those of you who don't know. We don't have all the details about what happened. We do know that she was found dead in her apartment. Apparent cause was suicide, though that hasn't been confirmed. We're not going to speculate on that. We only mention it because depression and mental health issues were things about which Sully was very prominent and actively engaged in within the community. And we want to make sure that brings some awareness to resources that are available that are in the description to this podcast. We are not a show that is built to have the super gravitas of what this all means, but it is something where we just wanted to take a moment to appreciate the life that she lived and what she brought to K-pop, because it felt incredibly wrong sculpting out this show without taking some time to talk about someone who had an impact on each of us to varying degrees. So I just want to start with you, Zach, with your Sully thoughts with all of this.
Yeah, I see, I never listened to FX that much. Mostly just I tend to follow groups when they're more active. I don't often go back and fill in on inactive groups. You know, since Monday, I've been doing that a little bit more with FX. And just I look at this and I'm just like, instead of fixate, you know, yeah, she's gone. Instead of fixating on that, go listen to their music. Go find whatever song from FX that you like, or go find new ones out there. Go find the single she put out earlier this year, Goblin. Go find any of the TV shows or movies that she did. She did a lot. Remember the things that she did. Not saying don't think about the fact that she's gone, but celebrate what she did. Go back to it. Because, you know, I'm kind of finding and going through some of these, you know, songs, like I was paying a lot more attention to some songs, and I'm like, god damn it, why did I not listen more to, like, say Red Light sooner? This song's awesome, you know. So go find something, go listen to that. And if you really want to do something about this, because, like, she talked a lot about cyberbullying, about mental health and things, if you have trouble with things, reach out to someone who can help. If you're not having trouble, reach out to someone who needs help, or give money to people that do things in order to help. You know, go take a more active role in doing things, because that's the best thing. It's hard to do a lot. And, you know, it feels like you can only do a little bit. Maybe that's true sometimes, but, you know, I have had a lot of trouble with mental health myself. And I can say that sometimes that little bit at the right moment makes a big difference. And no, I need to stop
every
now.
Every little bit counts. As someone who is diagnosed with clinical depression and anxiety, even just getting messages from people that you haven't talked to in a while can be the thing that keeps you grounded to the day, that gives you the connection that you're looking for. And I think that it's important to seek those out. And I do think it's important to seek out that music and celebrate what they did. I want to give you a chance to chime in here, Shay, before I share my final thoughts on things.
It's just hard for me. I feel like it's really hard when anyone passes away, especially a public figure like that. I think it's really sad. I think it's really sad how many things are just being speculated on it or about it. I feel like the best for a way like this is to celebrate what she did or what she was, like anything that she stood for. Like, and I feel really bad for everyone who cared about her, from her family to everyone that she touched with either her music or her movies or anything like that. And
yeah. This stuff sucks. It's hard to talk about it. But I do think that, you know, at the end of the day, knowing Sully and the person who she was, she would want us to celebrate the life that she lived a lot more than the fact that it's over. There's a lot of great music. You mentioned Red Light, Zach. Four Walls, Electric Shock, Rum Pum Pum Pum. These are all songs that, funnily enough, were some of the first songs I got into in K-pop, because the Spotify algorithm made them a priority, because they were such...
Though Four Walls was after she left, but still FX.
Well,
so
my apologies on that. But the rest of them, all very good songs.
Trust me, that was the first one I went to as well, and then realized shortly after, it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's not... Yeah. Okay, maybe not the perfect one to recommend,
still,
but there's a lot.
I think that was a group, certainly, that she cared about quite a bit. There are lots of movies and things, and there's even legislation right now that's being thrown out there to try to counteract cyberbullying that's being done in her memory, which is a good thing objectively to be happening. So we will certainly, I think, in our personal lives, follow the development of this kind of thing. I urge people to give themselves the distance that they need. When it comes to this stuff, obsessing over the morbid details can often be really rough in these spots. And so
it's not a good mental place to put yourself, as I realized as I found myself being sucked into that on the day that it happened. It's not a good place to put yourself. Enjoy the things about it. And also, this has kind of some artists, especially ones that were close to her, have postponed, or otherwise their things will be messing with their comeback and promotion schedule somewhat. And you know what? That's fine. No one give anyone any crap about this. Everyone does what they need to do.
Some things are more important. But at the end of the day, we agreed that we wanted to talk about this and take this time, mm-hmm. because it's important. We also agreed that this is ultimately a goofy entertainment show. We're not a group that does a whole bunch of super serious... I mean, we're called K-pop Shenanigans, people. I don't think it's really on the tin, ultimately, what it is that we do best. And I think that in times like this, it's important to cling to music, to the art that speaks to us, that touches us for good and bad reasons, and to appreciate that entertainment for what it is. And so... we're going to move on. We are going to get back into a little bit of our shenanigans-y mode. And we're going to talk about some very interesting songs, because this was a very interesting month. And of course, it starts with Simon Dominic, one of the guys who's worked a lot with Jay Park, rapper within the Korean scene, teamed up with Moon, Jackie Y, and a name that I will not pronounce because it was put in the video in Korean, and I cannot read that properly. That song was Got, by the way. Got with two T's. Fascinating video. I don't know what I expected, but it's definitely eye-popping, eye-catching, one could say.
Pun intended?
Oh, that pun was intended. That was absolutely. The first one genuinely did not mean to. Second one.
Do you even know what pun you made yet?
I haven't caught it yet, but it's
just
fine.
Wait. We'll get there. You'll see.
Yeah, we got right now. Oh, and so I want to start with you, Shay. What are your thoughts?
You're starting with me?
I'm starting with you.
Okay.
A whole you.
I actually was surprised. I really like this song. I love just like, I love the energy in it. I love how kind of like creepy and haunting it is. That also might be because I'm such a visual person, so I watch it with the video and I associate it very strongly there. The video is really interesting. It's, I don't know, I like drawing gore, I guess, but this is disgusting for me. I don't know. It's
a lot.
I don't like the grotesqueness in general things. And I was surprised because it is really like, yeah, this is gross. They're like, but the song itself is so good. And I love how it's like, it all comes together. I just like, I would actually put this on an iPod, which I still use iPods. But I just really like this. I don't really listen to Simon Dominic very much, but really good.
Yeah, it's really, he's a good rapper. I think that's one of the things that like, obviously, rap, when you talk about analyzing it in the U.S., right? Like, we speak English. We can kind of get a better understanding of, like, some of the puns and things that are in there. But just from a flow perspective, he's got such a good sense of measure and when to pick up on certain bits. He really plays off of that deep bass line very well. You know, I think all the rappers, whether it's Jackie or Moon, all really stepped up, and it's like a really interesting collection of up-and-coming talents here. Zach, what were your thoughts as someone who I know mentioned last time that you're not as much into the rap side of things, just don't have the history with it? So where did this song land for you?
I don't think I mentioned that on the podcast. I think it was that Discord conversation we had about stuff.
You
where
mentioned
I...
it when you said you slept on Gotta Say Day. You said he was underrated.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that you hadn't given it enough time.
Actually, that was the first thing when you started mentioning flow here, and I'm like, okay, this one, well, Simon Dominic, okay, I don't think he quite matched the level of of BY in there, but then I'm like, well, okay, he doesn't quite reach that level, but that's an insanely high level. The first thing when I was watching I guess two things came to mind, one after the other, when I started watching this video and I realized what they were doing. Somebody watched Dear Rude by Gia and said, ha, 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 you think that's gore?
Yeah.
And
I see it.
You know, and then I'm also thinking, did they release this like a month early? Because this should have been, I feel like this level of gore would fit in October more than it does in September.
We're getting ready for Halloween, right? I see you though.
Yeah. Well, this is a song where it's like, I like this song. I get the feeling, and this is where my struggle with hip hop is a little weird, of like knowing, not knowing the genre well enough even to be able to say, oh, I like this thing or I don't like this thing, because I feel like this is kind of like, if it gets too much heavier, I guess, almost, I want to say, in hip hop, I could see it starting to go like, it's almost like there's a hill of like, you know, there's like, you do a graph, inverted U chart of like, you get heavier, I like it more. And then as you get it heavier, you know, past a certain point, I would like it less. What the hell? Why am I trying to do a visual description of something on a podcast? Anyway, I think if it went any heavier, it would start to kind of go down that hill. But this feels like it just about the right spot here. And I find it funny whenever we have songs like this, because it's like, man, we are pushing the definition of K-pop. It's like, I think most people would not list this as a K-pop song, especially in the video where I'm noticing the number of times they're giving the middle finger to the camera, the number of f**ks they say in the song, because there's a lot of f**ks in this video. You know, it's like, okay, we're barely in there. And also, okay, Jackie Y, I need to check out some of her stuff now, because I'm interested in knowing more of what she's done. So
we might be finding more Jackie Y later on in next week's show, perhaps. Spoiler alert for a song that's going to be coming up down the line. But
I can tell you guys, sorry, might not get in.
Well, I mean, it's on the show notes. I don't know if you're pivoting on us. Real
I'm just here. Sorry. I was confusing. You meant like I forgot this is two parts. I thought you were talking about like next month.
No. I appreciate you, Shay. Thanks for being here. No, I do want to say real quick though, two things. One, Woo is the name that is listed here when I looked at the color-coded lyrics for the Korea name that I could not handle earlier. And he is the other person that is prominently featured in the video itself. And so I do feel like he deserves a more direct shout out. He did a good job. I think Simon Dominic was the better rapper of the two, but I think Woo was given enough to work with that certainly he can take some clout from it. The second thing is I realized now that I'm looking at it more that the video reminds me of Am I a Psycho, which is a song by Hobson and Tech N9ne and B.O.B., kind of a collaboration where each one of them were like different types of horror movie villain / serial killers. And it kind of went from one to the other.
I'm 0-3 on those names.
Yeah. And this is the thing, Zach, is that this idea of like this isn't K-pop is very much based on, I think, the fact that you don't listen to very much American pop. In American pop, rap has been pop for a long time.
I know.
We're there.
And here's the thing. I love that we push on these, you know, that we push and find weird like this all the time, you know?
Absolutely.
I love that we do it. It's just kind of funny of like, I get the feeling sometimes that if you're interested in like, oh, I want to know about K-pop. And sometimes I get the feeling they would look at some of the songs that we're doing and they're like, what? You left out what? And you talked about, huh?
Look, man, once we decided to include Shower, other songs existed in a month, we really forfeited any Shower right to be worried about so what we did and though. Did not choose to highlight. It's a very
Shower's awesome.
Thank you, Shay, because we did not have support on this at the time.
I think Justin and Kristen wanted to murder us in our sleep for that.
How could you not talk about it?
Justin it's will never awesome. Look at me the same way again. That's a friendship that has been irreversibly turned by the fact that I liked that song and he considered it a sin against humanity.
Is it the same way that Cat and Dog is a sin against humanity?
The video just was too much, too overwhelming of like, what is this nonsense? Why does this exist? What are you doing to me? Why have you trapped me into watching this video? I hate you for making me watch this and everyone involved in the production of it was about where that ended up, I think, for half of the show. And the other half of the show had a great time and are very glad that you enjoyed it as well. So I guess... To wrap this up, we recommend GOT across the board.
Yeah.
All of us seem to enjoy that. We all recommend Durazo by, Shower by Durazo, if you remember that older episode as well, but for entirely different reasons.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely go check both of those songs out. And we're going to
make a great double feature.
It's a double feature, back-to-back, the whiplash there would be a pretty fun experience.
Though you may need a shower after all that gore.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, no.
Moving on. Devil by CLC. CLC has been coming hard this year. This song is not as hard as other songs that CLC have put out there, mostly because I think it would be very difficult for them to go that much harder than a song like Me was a couple months back. But... definitely a different look for them. And so I want to turn to you a little bit, Zach. Where did you come down on Devil?
My first note on this song is Evil Red Velvet. Is what the video kind of made me think of. Is it
Evil Red Velvet, though? Sorry, I'll let you finish.
Well, I mean, Red Velvet, they do have an evil side to them already. This is just more Evil Red Velvet.
Yeah, no, I'll go when you're done.
This song and video... I feel like it should not work because there's this thing, this song is never quite bright and cheery, but it has like lighter, darker, lighter, darker. It kind of alternates between the two in the song. The video is all bright and looks like every K-pop girl group video released in about 2016. That really bright. I compare it to Red Velvet because it kind of looks like Russian roulette in a lot of places. In addition to the fact that they're all trying to kill each other in various ways, or at least injure each other badly. You know, steal from the best if you're going to steal. So go right ahead. But the song kind of alternates this light and dark, but the video remains bright and cheery all the time. Then suddenly they turn out the lights and it gets in my head and it will not go out. I like this song a lot. I just don't understand how this music video works at all when it doesn't seem to track with the song and yet somehow feels like it fits just right. I am baffled by liking this one so much. Not necessarily the song itself. The song itself is great on its own. It's the combination of the two that I'm just like, I don't understand how this works.
Yeah, it's funny. I think like the second half of it, where it does get darker, comes together because the song is in fact called Devil.
Right.
And so there is that kind of, you know, again, the playful nature of it in the Russian roulette comparison, I think is very fair. I think it's the closest to a Red Velvet song that anything I've heard CLC do has gotten. And it's not a bad thing. It's certainly something where I think if you're the type who has a particular type of song they want from CLC, you may come down differently on it. That's why I want to turn to you here, Shay, because you're not as
tear
much
me apart.
Standard girl group fan, but you have really liked what CLC has done this year.
Yeah.
So where did you stand on this particular song?
I actually like the song. I didn't realize I completely forgot that it came out, so I actually only saw this video recently. I'm a little behind. I actually really like the song. It's not what I think of for CLC, but it's still got that, like, it still interests me. It might be because I already like them. It completely reminds me of Russian Roulette. I was just like, yeah, this is, like, almost like Russian Roulette light in a certain way. Because, like, yeah, they're trying to hurt each other, but in Russian Roulette, they were literally trying to kill each other. Like,
right.
She dropped a cactus, the other girl dropped an anvil. But
Russian Roulette also literally had cartoon violence.
Yeah.
They literally had an, like, cat and mouse Tom and Jerry ripoff thing.
Yeah.
So.
Also, it was, like, a little weird to me. I don't know if, I assume this wasn't intentional, but one, Soren looks a little bit like a Barbie to me in this, just from, like, how they styled her. And the thing, this only part weird for me with that is, like, it doesn't have to bother me. She still looks really nice. It's just when they have, like, Barbie heads at the end.
Yeah, well, that's why I think
that
was
a little
purposeful.
Weird. Okay, so they're like, all, like, ganging up on her?
Funny thing is, I noted down in here, Soren looks really white in this video, especially with the blonde hair.
We've already got over
it does wash her out.
Yeah, but she looks really nice. Like, I think she looks good. It doesn't bother me that she looks white here.
No, it's just a stray observation. But yeah, she does. I feel stupid for not making the Barbie connection because, hello, Barbie heads in an egg carton. They're making it for you. You just have to connect the dots. And I apparently am not a dot connector.
Sometimes 2 + 2 does equal 4. But it's funny. I really like Soren in this video. I think this is one of those songs that I would classify as a Soren song.
She looks really good.
Yeah, and the song plays off of her vocal strengths very well. She has a charisma throughout the video that I think works out quite nicely. Sungyeon, obviously, always.
Sungyeon looks so good here, and I was so sad that there was not more of her because she came out in a little, like, pink embroidered top thing, and I was like, you look fantastic. And then she was there for, like, maybe, like, 1/8 the video, or, like, highlighted that, and I was so sad because I was like, but you look so good, and then you put you in this really weird... Okay, can I just take a brief moment? The denim outfits, the one that's just a coat that's all that tied in the I hate it. I hate it so much. I mean, like, you still look pretty. You still look hot. Stop.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I've seen worse things in videos, but it stood out to me as being, like, yeah, it's a statement piece of, like, it draws your eyes to her. But I was also just like, but why?
that's one of those where I assume the, you know, you guys have told me in the past stories of, like, certain members of groups being made to look less attractive so that they don't overshine the other members. And, like, that's the only thing I think of when I see that look is it's just,
it doesn't,
like,
make her look any less attractive to me. It just makes her look a little silly.
Oh, so it didn't even work.
No, it didn't even work.
We want to uglify you and it didn't work.
Well, I mean, like, the other ways when they're like, we want to uglify you, they're like, let's just make your hair a palm tree. that'll make you ugly. Like, I'm sorry. It's just, it's not flattering.
It's not, yeah, it's the way it bunches up. I'm not a huge fan of that look.
Oh, I'm at the palm tree here. I mean, like, it's not flattering. This isn't flattering, but I mean, she's still, it doesn't work as making her, it doesn't detract so much from me. Like, I dislike most of their denim outfits, but.
Yeah, the attractive person continues to be attractive even in an not ideal outfit.
It was flash.
I will say Yian's look in this is also very good.
Really? I was disappointed. I missed her looks from other things.
I mean, I like the red dress bit. There are some other outfits here that I don't think, like, I don't think her denim was the best, but I like the red dress with the black trim. I am also a Falcons fan, so those are my two favorite colors. And she is my bias, so I have a couple leanings that would make that particular look go well for me that I do acknowledge and take into consideration here when making my analysis. So that's Devil, and I highly recommend, I think we all recommend that you check this song out. CLC continuing to do great things this year. I don't know if personally I'm going to rate this song above either Me or No, because it's what I love about them the most. But certainly it's nice to get this as a change of pace, and it's a great reminder of the versatility that CLC brings.
Yeah, remember the fact that they spent 3 years doing every single style you could come up with because they couldn't figure out what worked? They're quite versatile.
Yeah, it does pay off. We're going to move on. Man, we got to stop jinxing things, Zach. We have to have a talk because, you know, we...
Oh, so you're putting this on me. You're calling this my fault.
Well,
oh.
No, because here's the thing. It's my fault. This is actually a me problem because... This is the second time in the podcast history in which we said, oh, we're done doing this thing unless this one thing happens, and then it's the thing that happens. It happened with YG when we're like, we're not talking about the YG story unless he steps down.
I said that one. I take credit for that one.
Last month, I said the phrase, well, I hope you guys enjoyed hearing us talk about Bulbagon 4, because it's the last time we're going to talk about him for a long time. So the next song on our list is Workaholic by Bulbagon 4. yeah, I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't ready. I like this song, like, a lot. Like, this is my favorite thing they've ever done. And that's so weird to say, but I'm here. I want to hear from you, though, Zach, before I kind of gush into why. Like, what were your thoughts on Workaholic?
I actually like this song quite a lot, too. And the feeling I got from this is this could be a Heisa song. It has, yes. It feels a lot like her style, just obviously they don't go into rap as much as she does because I don't think either of the girls in Bulbagon can rap and I don't expect them to.
Please no.
Why did that make me laugh so much? I don't know. But yeah, this, like, I feel like I need to put Bulbagon in that list with, like, Heisa. Well, not just because this sounds similar to it. And also, I kind of put IU in there as well. They are very hit and miss with me. Most of the songs I'm not a big fan of because of the particular style. But when they find one that hits, it hits. And this one does with me. And also, I have a few comments to make on the video. Like, I want to know. At the point where, and I can't remember the name of either of the girls in Bulbagon, but at one point, the quieter one, you know, the one who does the piano and guitar and most of the stuff, she puts a blindfold over the other girl and hands her a baseball bat, you know, while she's just sitting in an office. And I'm like, what was the conversation leading up to this moment? Because it seems pretty spontaneous of just, here, I'm going to blindfold you and hand you a baseball bat. And now you're going to go and try and attack everyone in your office. What conversation led into that?
Dreams I've had many a time, for the record. That is a very common fantasy of, man, if I could just say F this and just go to town and destroy everything that is weighing me down. I have never empathized with a video more in my entire life than just her looking just absolutely repulsed at everything that had been put on her plate, being handed a bat and just going to town and watching everyone run away screaming. That says a lot about where I'm at in life right now, and I acknowledge that.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you may have gone a little too far in revealing things about yourself.
It's been a month, man.
So, okay.
I mean.
All right, then.
I'm with you there, Chase. Different kind of thing, but still with you.
Oh, God. And then at one point, I got this video mixed up with the recent, I think it was called I Disagree by Poppy. Okay, there's a scene in Workaholic where she's at a party with a bunch of people and everyone's all passed out and she wakes up. And then there's a scene in Poppy's video where there's a bunch of people who are passed out. She pours gasoline on all of them and sets them on fire. And that would actually fit perfectly within the tone of this video. And I was kind of expecting that to happen and then slightly thrown off when it didn't. And I'm like, oh, right, that wasn't this video. Okay. I guess I'm a pyromaniac. Maybe I've said too much about myself now. Stop me, please.
It's all good. No, I think this video is really fun. I have a couple of things I want to add, but I want to give Shay a chance to chime in first.
It's my turn?
It is your turn. There are three of us on this show, and so there was a few.
I just didn't know if I was going second or last.
I got you. You're going right now. What are your thoughts on Workaholic?
Okay. Workaholic, it's... I can say it's probably my favorite Bull of the Gone 4 song. I don't know if that's saying much. I don't remember if we've probably got over my general dislike or just don't care about them. That said, it's just not a song for me. This is not my style. Oh, I might listen to it maybe once a year.
The annual Bubble God listening party.
Yeah, I think she looked really good.
The blue hair is a great look.
I also think I partially liked the video because I was like, hey, my hair, I just dyed it or bleached it. My hair was kind of that color for a while. So that might have given me a little bias. She looked really pretty. I'm very happy. Still hard for me to finish the video. I do relate to parts of it. I like that about it. I just, yeah. I don't have much to say about it, but I was like, this is probably my favorite Bubble Gum Fair song. And I like, if they did more songs like this, I'd probably be more interested.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when they get an actual groove to work with, when they decide to add just a little bit of a beat, a little bit of tempo, a little bit of funk in there. There's a groove. There's a legit groove to a Bubble Gum song. And it's very rare, if ever, I've been able to say that before. I will say, I could very easily consider myself a workaholic over the past couple years, I think. I think both of you know me well enough to know that that's definitely a thing that I have fallen victim to, and that everything about this song and the video, from the lyrics to just her facial expressions to just the pacing of it and that portrayal is just so... I think it speaks to what Andrew and Sneko brought up last month when it comes to their biggest strength, which is their ability to connect with people. They know how to connect with the average person who is listening to their music and can associate with their stories. That's something that they've always put to the forefront. Whatever you have to say about the actual music behind it, the messaging and the types of songs that they put out there are designed to connect with people in those kinds of rough, working classy type spots that have the kind of worn down by certain parts of modern culture.
I thought we weren't getting serious. You're dragging this too serious.
I'm sorry. It's a lot
on here.
It's been a month, guys, and I just don't
focus on her beautiful blue hair.
It is very pretty blue hair. But
hair and going at things with a baseball bat.
I have a side note with that. Here is how bad with faces I can be when they have the shots of her with her hair pulled back. I'm thrown for a moment of not immediately realizing this is the same person you just saw.
Oh, I thought they cut her hair for a moment. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then
It's like for a moment I thought, wait, did you give the other girl blue hair? Randomly in the middle of the video for no reason. I am horrible with faces. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
It's okay.
Theme of the month, actually. That'll come up later.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll get to it there. But yeah, I mean, whether you like it because of the blue hair or you like it because you've been there, done that, are there, whatever the case may be.
If you've been there and done that and hit everybody in your office with a baseball bat, that's called assault, possibly also battery.
Yeah, but cathartic, right? Right? We would like to point out the K-Pop Shenanigans podcast is not endorsed taking a baseball bat to your office. Don't do that. Probably not going to end well. Definitely a crime, as Zach pointed out. But daydreams are a thing that exists for a reason. So go ahead and live this out through the music video. Check out the song. It's good. It's a Bulbagon song that two of the three of us think are good, and the third of us
thinks it's the best Bulbagon song, which is
that's as close to a compliment as Shay's ever going to get when it comes to Bulbagon. So I feel like
I'll take that one, or Bubblegon, as I've been calling them.
Oh my god, we're gonna move on. Dreamcatcher had a busy month. Dreamcatcher had two songs come out this month. The first was Breaking Out, a Japanese single. The second was Deja Vu, which was their latest Korean comeback. And I think that certainly the latter of the two songs was the one that got the majority of the attention from the mainstream public. It's the one that they've been taking to shows that they have not been able to secure a win controversially. There were some things about vote counting and stuff that we won't get into because we talked about how dumb all of that is last time around.
Yep.
But go check out our part one of the August podcast if you want to hear us talking about how all this stuff is rigged and should really not be taken too seriously outside of the actual legal fraud.
Treat K-pop like professional wrestling and you'll be so much better.
Yeah, pretty much. But let's treat Dreamcatcher as the group that they are. And I want to start with Shay. Because we have these two different songs here. What were your thoughts on each, and which one did you ultimately end up gravitating towards this month?
Oh, that's so hard. Okay. I like both of them. They're both definitely, for me, they are both Dreamcatcher songs. I have a bit of a problem, personally. I wish I liked them more than I do. I love the visuals so much. Like, this is everything I want. I tend to like Deja Vu more personally, but I love the combination in Breaking Out of the white and black with the leather and the white. Deja Vu, I love girls with swords, just like the whole like girls in dresses with swords. I love that aesthetic.
Yeah. I want like that tweet format where it's like a clap emoji in between each word, like give women more swords.
Things look so good. I love everything about like that visually. Everything about that video is just, I love all their outfits. This is what I want. Like, this is what I'd like to draw. Things like that. I wish I liked the songs more. I don't dislike them. They're just not my favorite Dreamcatcher songs. I'll put it this way. I wished I liked the songs as much as I liked the videos. I feel personally, yeah. I mean, like, I gravitate a lot more towards Deja Vu personally. They have swords. It's more distinct. Like, it looks at a higher budget. There's more things going on.
Is having swords an automatic plus, like, 1.5 stars?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this song, because the video probably has, like, 4.5.
I'm sorry, do you not have a modifier for swords included
in like
what are you doing?
If you make girls look princely in any way, you just instantly get like an extra like 2 stars.
Yes, like girls with swords. I did not write that into my rating algorithm.
Oh, you should change it.
Clearly your algorithm needs some tweaking is what we just learned. That's the revelation that came in.
The Breaking Out reminds me of a anime opening. Not in like in a good way. They all, a lot of their songs kind of remind me of anime openings in the way, in like the best possible way. It just makes it sound like something exciting's going on. But yeah, I just love the videos. They're so pretty.
Yeah, I think Breaking Out is certainly the one that we'll spend the less amount of time on, just because it's another Dreamcatcher song. If you like that kind of more anime style opening that you've seen from them before. In other comebacks, other Japanese comebacks in particular, I think this is going to be more of that, and that is good. I like that song. Deja Vu, I am 100% with you. I like the video so much. Like, the aesthetics here are gorgeous. It meets the theming of Deja Vu so well, that like kind of lost in the memories, like which characters are there and which ones aren't, in this kind of like, you know, the way that a room, you know, they'll be surrounded by people and then everything will just disappear, falling into the void. There's just a lot of really great shots. It may be my new favorite Dreamcatcher music video. As an experience, as a visual thing to take in, I think Deja Vu is great. And I listen to most of my K-pop through Spotify because that's what's easiest for me for my work. And Deja Vu as a song, I don't think quite lives up to what I wish it was. And it's not that it's not a good song, it's just that it takes a little while to get to where it wants to be. And once it's there, it's very good. It just, that first minute or so as they warm up to the first real blow up chorus is just, it's embracing a part of this, of their skill set that just doesn't immediately latch on to me when Peary exists. And I do think that I'm a little bit biased and the Deja Vu was built up as like, oh my God, I can't believe they've built up. They've gone even farther than they did with Peary. And so I was kind of in with those kinds of expectations and it didn't hit that for me. I think Peary is the best song they've released this year. I think Peary is the best song they've ever released. And I still feel that way. But Deja Vu certainly brings a lot to the table. And even though it's not going to be my favorite Dreamcatcher song, it's certainly going to be in my rotation. Zach, I'm letting you close it out this time. Congratulations.
Oh, I know.
What are your thoughts?
If you had tried to go to me earlier, I would have refused to talk because I wanted to be the last one on here.
I had a feel. Look, it's almost like we've been doing this for long enough that I've got your back, buddy.
Right. You know how I'm thinking here. So what I'll start this by saying is I've had some rather complicated feelings on Dreamcatcher recently. It's too bad that this was a Discord chat and not a podcast, because I'd love to point to the conversation Chase and I had about it. When I ran into Dreamcatcher, I was like, holy f***ing shit, here is like the meeting of the two things I have most been into it musically in my life. Here is a K-pop group verging on heavy metal. Holy shit, they're doing this, because around the time that I started listening to Dreamcatcher, I knew baby metal existed, and I was like, oh, is this pointing towards a Korean baby metal? Is that where this is going? And the answer is basically not really. They haven't been going in that direction, and I've been kind of trying to figure out, like, there was a feeling that I'd had of just like, I kind of wish they had explored that area more than they have. You know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about that recently. And so I guess I see this combination of releases differently than I have some of their other ones, because that was just a, you know, little thought in the back of my head for a while. And now that I've really gone to it more, it's like, okay, I can come to them on their own terms rather than kind of wanting them to be the thing I want them to be. And so Breaking Out, this song, I feel like I like every part of it individually, but it doesn't really come together into anything. Every time, like, I keep going back to it because I'm like, am I missing something? But I'm just kind of meh on the song. I don't know why. It just, every part of it, I'm like, oh, this part's good, this part's good, this part's good, and it doesn't come together into anything. At least to me. I don't know. It is really weird that I'm having that reaction to a Dreamcatcher song. Especially because from the sounds of it, the other two people on this podcast liked it a lot more than I did, which is weird.
How did you feel about the video? Because we talked a lot about the videos. I don't know how much
the video
you're a video
is,
person like I am. But
yeah, I pay a lot of attention to the video. And it honestly, this kind of felt like Dreamcatcher going through the motions. And I'm like, okay, I don't really see anything. It's fine, I guess. I just don't care. And I find it weird I'm saying that about a Dreamcatcher song, but here you go.
Yeah, it's funny that you're there, and it's not, you know, and I do get it, because I think that there's a reason that Shay and I are focusing so much on the video and less on the song. I think that we can both agree that the song has its flaws, but, you know, I think that, you know, if you're a fan of enough groups for long enough, eventually you're going to have periods where you sour on one versus another, which certain things click with you and certain things just don't. And I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're still in the mood for more Dreamcatcher, Deja Vu has an amazing video and is a good song with some bits that didn't quite click for each of us, I think.
Yeah, well, I need to get to Deja Vu because I still haven't.
This has all just been breaking out. Oh, my.
That's
apologies.
All just been breaking out.
That oh, I thought we were also talking about Deja Vu.
I've just been
talking about breaking out. I needed to say all of that.
That's why we were just like, Zach, you think this is them going through the motions?
No. Okay, Deja Vu. Let's get to fucking Deja Vu.
Okay.
So my first note is, this is the first time I've ever been excited to hear a piano at the start of a Korean song. Never in any of these other songs when I've heard a piano at the beginning have I been excited. Because usually piano means ballad that is going to be piano and voice and there's nothing else, and I usually hate that. But the start of this one, and it's like, the moment I heard the piano, I'm like, oh, I know where this is going. I know what they're doing here. I wish that I had some record of me saying this somewhere, because I remember thinking a while back, the way to fix Korean ballads is make them all rock or metal ballads, because those are awesome. And to bring back to what I said, in my introduction to the podcast, this is my song of the month.
Interesting.
This video is great. This video looks great. I know why you guys were so confused, because it's like, no, this video, it looks great. It
oh, that's so much better now. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of, there were some visual elements reminded me of, oh God, I guess at some point I actually do have knowledge of Japanese music, I guess, because it reminded me of a Dreamcatcher kind of feels like they're making anime theme songs at this point.
Yeah.
Which, and they reminded me of Yosei Teikoku, which is actually a Japanese band that actually does anime openings. And I'm like, okay, so basically what Dreamcatcher is they're like a softer version of that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm okay with this. They even seem to be going in a lot of visual directions that are the same as there. I'm like, either somebody's watching that or they're drawing from the same reference pool. To add to the thing about them seeming like anime, theme songs, to quote somebody else who lives in the same apartment as I am, you know, she who shall not be named, said while watching this, wait, is this for like Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts or something like that? That's kind of what this feels like. And I have been looping this song, like I started looping the song about the day it came out, and when it comes up while listening to something, you know, if like I'm listening to a playlist, it comes up. I often find myself straying to the repeat one button. I love this song because it's like, one, I've come to a better place of like, here's what they are now. They're not going to be what I want them to be, but it's unfair of me to ask them to be that. And they're doing a great job of doing the semi-metal ballad. And that's awesome. I love it.
I'm okay. Now I'm back. Now we're on board.
We're all on the same page now. I'm feeling so much better. So we're just like...
Yeah. Breaking Out is the one I'm just meh on, and they're going through the motions.
Yeah.
Deja Vu is awesome.
Deja Vu's a lot of fun. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'd highly recommend people check it out. I think of the two songs, it's the one that's the most interesting. Certainly has the best video. If you like Dreamcatcher a lot, you'll like Breaking Out as well. But it certainly doesn't break the mold. It does not break out from what you might expect from.
Ha ha ha. I like Dreamcatcher a lot, and I don't like Breaking Out. So,
I feel like it's a song that you put on the album, not a title track.
And yet it's their Japanese single.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's just, I felt that way about, like, even groups I've like. Where I'm just like, I was surprised you chose this as a title track. But I guess it's a single, so there we go.
Yeah,
It's good, but it's not.
It's not Dreamcatcher's best. It doesn't do anything to innovate on it. Or build upon what they've already done. And so if you're looking for that, definitely you're going to want to keep looking to Deja Vu. But we're going to move on. We have one more song in part one here. IZ*ONE. Hey, welcome back to the show, IZ*ONE. Man, this song. So it's called Vampire. Vampire is the name of the single. The last time we talked about IZ*ONE, we were talking about Buenos Aires, which was a song that should never have been released by a professional company that had terrible mixing. It was an absolute mess. And this song is out, and I want to talk, company behind IZ*ONE. What is happening over there? Zach, try to make sense of this for me. Where are you on Vampire here?
Oh God. This is probably the song I am most conflicted on.
Oh.
Of the ones that we have here. Because I think the best thing is this bit from my notes of, I think that I like this song, but I feel like there's just something holding me back. Of like, I don't even know. I can't put my finger on what it is about this song. Of like, I get the feeling I have an idea of where you're going to go laying into this song. This doesn't feel like the string of weird and bad decisions that created Buenos Aires, where that song just kind of feels like you threw spaghetti at the wall and you forgot that you were supposed to see what stuck, and you just kind of threw spaghetti in the song. And that is a dumb metaphor, but I'm going to go with it. And I don't know, because like, I cannot put my finger on quite what it is. I think the thing that maybe bugs me the most about it is like, this seems to be a really cheery song about vampires. And I'm like, you shouldn't be this cheery if this is the thing that you're going to, because like, the look of the video does not quite match that, except for the fact that, you know, the little prosthetic teeth they're using don't look that good. But other than that, they look like they're kind of going for this more elegant gothic look.
Yeah.
And then the song is weirdly cheery about vampires. And I'm like, no. Make it darker. Go that way. And also, Chase, I know you're going to love the fact that I'm bringing this up, but I know you're going to lay into the sound mixing. You did there before. And the weird thing is, this is just what, let me find the guy's name. This is just what Yasushi Akimoto does. He produced this song. He's produced a bunch of AKB48 songs.
So this is just his style?
This weird mixing, this weird stuff. I'm not saying it's a good choice. I'm just saying it's a choice that he makes. This guy does this, and I don't know. I agree that in a lot of places that this does not quite sound right, but also, dear Lord, the guy has sold, the singles this guy has produced have sold over 100 million copies. This is a choice. This is a choice. This is not something they're stumbling into by accident.
Okay.
Yeah, that's more concerning.
I don't know what that says about anything.
Yeah, that hasn't helped. That has not put my concerns to
rest.
Oh, no.
I'm just pointing out that that's the thing. And also, my other thought from this, the one last thing to finish this up, is I had the thought that if I was in charge of the spreadsheet of songs, I would try to find a way to sneak in AKB48 songs and pretend they're IZ*ONE Japanese singles, and you probably couldn't tell unless you realized that you didn't recognize anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that I would recognize that I didn't recognize one of 12 faces that are in IZ*ONE. Look, man, a YouTube commenter made my point for me, so I'm just going to steal their point. This sounds like the voices and music were recorded in two completely different places. Like, it sounds like IZ*ONE is performing live and like that was the backing track. Like, it does not seem like a song that was mixed to be a cohesive song. A cover, right? Like, a cover would sound like this because the music would be the same that it was for the original version, but you'd be singing on top of the instrumental. That's what this is. It is lazy. At best, I'm going to put it that way. You can say it's a stylistic choice. It is a convenient choice. It is a choice that
never said it wasn't.
I hate it so much. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound clean. It doesn't sound like, you know, one of the things I loved about IZ*ONE when they came out, you know, I loved Livion Rose. I was obsessed with Livion Rose. I'm still obsessed with Violetta. And both of those songs are very smooth, well-produced music. You know, they do some interesting things with their production, but overall, it's an experience. It's a very accessible song. And this is just, it's off-putting from the start because it does just sound wrong. And you can tell me that this is J-pop, and maybe I just don't know J-pop. I'm not familiar with the group that you say I could confuse them between, which maybe is why I don't know that I would, but maybe I would. Maybe this is just the way it all is. And if that's the case, then I just am not going to be a big J-pop fan. But I've heard at least a few J-pop songs. I don't think they all sound this bad. This is rough.
Yeah, it's not necessarily everyone. I specifically was looking, if you want to find a comparison, listen to the song Teacher Teacher by AKB48. Same producer on the song. And AKB48 sounds like this. Not necessarily all J-pop.
We'll include a link to that as well. I will say this. I've just put up a slight sample here when you told us to search this. this sounds better mixed than what we got from Vampire. I understand what you're saying in terms of like style, but that is better. That is better done than what we got from Vampire. Vampire feels rushed, and it feels rushed for the second time in a row now. And I don't understand why they feel the need to be so aggressive, because it's not like Eyes One aren't popular enough that they could take a little bit of extra time in between comebacks. But I feel like they're hurting the brand overall, because these songs are not, even if you liked Vampire, which I can't imagine being that person, but let's say that you were, like, it doesn't compare to Violetta. It doesn't compare to Livion Rose in terms of, like, if that was what you liked about the group, like, you're not getting that. This whole thing is a mess to me.
This could be the most backhanded compliment you could possibly give. I think I like the version that plays in my head better than the version I hear out of the video. My brain corrects all the weird mixing stuff and it suddenly sounds better.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a superpower I unfortunately do not have. Shay, where are you at with this song?
I am so mixed on this video just because I love the aesthetics here again, just like in the last song that we talked about. They have similar little jackets. I love that gothic aesthetic. It's black and gold. Everything about the video, except for the little teeth. So much to like there. But I would probably just watch it on mute. Because I just don't care for the song personally. I like didn't get through the video the first time because I was like, oh. It was it wasn't what I was expecting. I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, it's just one of those, like, it's like deja vu in the way of, like, I liked the video more than song, but to a whole new extreme.
Right. Well, and I gave it, like, the most tepid of, I think I like this. I think I like this. And part of my brain kind of fixes the mixing of the song, and I like it a lot better. You know, when I'm hearing, when it's, I can hear it in my head right now, and I know that what I'm hearing in my head sounds better than the actual mixing on the thing, which is not good.
I would have rather either they had a different video, which would fit the tone of the song, or had a song that fit the tone of the video.
I would rather have a different song. I really don't like this one, if you can't tell. To go to your point about the Japanese market, Zach, I looked up some sales numbers here.
Yeah.
Buenos Aires and Vampire both peaked at number one on both the Japanese chart and the Japanese hot pop charts.
It's one of those things. It's like for the longest time, there was this thing, maybe it's still a thing, of the loudness war, they called it, which was on any hard rock or heavy metal album. If you ever pulled up, like if you ever opened the MP3 file, you know, like in an audio editor, it would just be like this wall of loud. It was just, there was no dynamic range on things. Of like, there was no, oh, things are quiet and then things get louder. It was just rah, all the freaking time. And it sounded horrible and it sold amazingly.
Yeah, here's...
Different things for different people.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If the goal is just to make Japan happy, you're doing that. I will say that none of the Japanese singles have charted on the US world chart. Buenos Aires and Vampire. Buenos Aires did not chart at all. Vampire peaked at 52 on the specific hot pop chart and not the main one there. So I don't know. I feel like this is clearly a targeted choice. I'm not the target audience, and maybe we as Westerners and as traditional K-pop fans aren't the target audience. If that's what you want to be, Eyes One, that's what you want to be. And that's,
you're doing a good job of it.
This is their Japanese single. This is not.
Yeah, they've released two Japanese singles back to back, though, and three in 1 year.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I feel like you'd have a different opinion. Like, let's say Vampire was all in Korean.
Would it be mixed better?
Yeah, certainly I would hope that. But I mean, at the end of the day, Eyes One have had four comebacks this year, three of which were Japan exclusive. This is what they're doing. This is who they are.
Like, mixed group.
I think they looked at some numbers and realized, wait a minute, Japan is larger than Korea. There are more people there. We will sell more there.
Yeah, and they're selling a lot of physical copies there, and it's going well for them. So, you know what? Like, if that's
good,
if that's what they want to be, that's fine. I just wish they were being a better version of it. It's just so frustrating because they're so there's just some things that they could do that are just tried and true music production basics that I just feel would make the song what it could be. And it's, I encourage everyone to listen to it. It sounds like if you're more like Zach and you do have a little bit more of the Japanese background, you can turn this into the song you want it to be.
I find Japanese background a very strange way to say that.
You know enough about the Japanese pop music compared to, I think, both Shay and I, that it's fair to say that you're at least on board with the concept. I think Shay and I, our mileage varies on that. My mileage is basically zero at this point. I think this is the song.
I'm probably like in the middle of the two.
Yeah, by tepid agreement, Shay's meh, and Chase wants to burn it down to the ground.
I don't know. Right? I'm at a point where I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get excited about an Eyes One single again. And maybe it's just like, I just loved Violetta and Le'Veon Rose so much that to see them go in the exact opposite direction of what I like is just unfortunate. And I understand that is a very selfish way to view this situation. I want to be clear that Eyes One, like, keep getting them checks. Do you. I'm just some dude on the internet. I get it. But, like, God.
I did not realize that what I said about Dreamcatcher and what you said about Eyes One would have such similarities to it.
Right?
God, that's ironic.
The difference is I've come to accept what they are and appreciate them for it, and you want to go all scorched earth on them.
I'm so... well, I want to hear what you guys have to think, those of you listening to this show. And you can do so by liking, commenting, subscribing, all that fun stuff wherever you listen to podcasts. It really does help. It means a lot to us. Helps us with those whole algorithms. And of course, if you have a friend, you know, the thing that empowers us to keep doing shows like this is that you keep listening to it. We really appreciate all of you who do enjoy the show. We hope that in the future we'll be able to turn these around a little bit more quickly. It's been a lot going on for, I think, all of us on this call over the last month. And so we appreciate your patience as always with it, but definitely be sure to do all of those things. And if you really like the show,
if you want to super motivate us.
Yeah, we do have a donation link now on our Anchor FM page. You can click that and help make Zach feel better about all the hours that he spends editing this show. Kind of make him feel like his time is literally worth some amount of money. So we would appreciate that if you feel so inclined, if you feel like the episode was worth it.
I don't think we'll be getting that from Eyes One fans.
No, Eyes One fans are probably my comments right now. And if you are an Eyes One fan and you want to get in my comments, you can do so at Chase Wassenaar on Twitter. That's where you can find me. You can find the site I write for at Unicorn Co. That is the esports site for which I'm the lead editor. If you enjoy all of those professional video gaming shenanigans, and if you do, you'll probably like the GGWP, our sister podcast that I'm on with Pure Technics and Mad Magical. A lot of fun if you enjoy esports and more geeky pop culture type conversations. Shay, where can the nice people at home find you?
On Instagram at Chebong, which will be easier to see just in the links. As well, I'm more active on Instagram than I am on Twitter, but I do have both to showcase my art and K-pop.
Yeah, there's a lot of awesome art to check out, so definitely do the thing. And commissions are a thing that exists, people. Just to reminder there, I've definitely done some in the past, and it's 100% worth it. Zach, where can the nice people at home find you?
I am on Twitter at RamblyBadger for the usual Twitter bullshit, and at RavenousBadger where I post when I have projects that get finished and things. And really, really, truly shameless plug, hey, if you like how this stuff sounds, I will produce your podcast for you if you hand me money.
Hey, I like this. Yes, please reach out. Pay my talented friends.
This is my resume.
That's what I want to say to end this podcast. Pay my talented friends. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with part two, which has another 6 songs and our 60-second segments. But until then, goodbye, internet. Awesome.
Cool.
Good night. I think Shay was supposed to go there first.
What?
You don't have to say goodbye if you don't want to.
Oh.
True, I guess.
I just do the class just Done.
I'm keeping this part in the podcast. Wow. I thought the one you were going to ask me was my grudge against 17.
You have a grudge against 17?
It's a stupid thing. It's a very stupid thing.
I'll let you get to it in the 60 seconds.
What agency are they with?
17 Pleiades. Same right. thing as Newest.
Yes. Who else was with Pleiades?
I'm assuming is this a Priston protest?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. I get it.
The two of them kind of hit big at around the same time, and it seems like all their efforts went to 17 instead of Priston.
Oh, 17 was so popular.
Right. No. Really I popular. Don't necessarily blame them for making the decision that they did, because here's the thing. If you're in that situation, absolutely put the effort behind the more popular one. It just feels like Priston got kind of f***ed over by that, in addition to other shit going wrong. Who knows what the hell actually happened back there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So yeah, that's my grudge against 17. Is it stupid? Absolutely.
I respect it.
The way you said that sounds like you're about to bring up a butt. Like, I respect it, but you're an asshole and a moron.
No. I respect it, and I'm not sure where the plan leads, I guess. It's just such a, like, so you're gonna hate, ultimately, Pleiades is going to be Pleiades. And I guess so that's where you want to draw the line. Like, that's fair. It's just one of those, like, I don't think it's going to get better, unfortunately.
There's no plan here. All it is just, I think I brought that up on there because I'm like, oh, is this the song that's going to finally convince me to not have a grudge against him? Nope.